Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Healing School here at High Point Church. It is good to be back with you. And let me just welcome those of you who may be joining us on the broadcast that we're doing on Facebook following this session. Have you ever had a time in your life where you felt like you needed to go up and shore up some foundations? That's what we're going to do this morning. That's kind of some things the Lord has been ministering to me in my own personal time with Him. And so I want to begin to talk this morning about healing in His love. Healing in His love. So we're going to be talking about love. And I really want to begin by sharing a testimony. And all the glory goes to God for this one. This is an old one. About 6 years ago, I had breakfast with a friend on Riverside Drive at Cracker Barrel. And I got a text from Pastor Trey. Several of us did. And the text read something like this: "We've had a request from a person in our church to go pray for a 12-year-old girl who's in the hospital at that time, Navicent." And so I thought, well, I can do that. We'd finished eating. I was going down anyway to a nursing home near the Coliseum, or Piedmont, I guess, as it's now called, to visit a lady we had gone to church with when we first moved back to Macon. So I texted Trey back and said, "I'll go. Give me some details." So he simply texted me a brief text that said, "We got a request from Sissy, a lady who goes to church with us here. It's a friend of hers and her daughter, 12 years old, been in the hospital 2 weeks with pneumonia." So we headed down there. What a privilege it is to take the Lord and His love into hospitals and lay hands on people and watch Him work. Don't look at that as something that's taken too much of my time. I have no idea what I was going to be doing that day, but I can tell you this, I went with joy because there is such joy for me in doing that. So I ended up parking up near Mount DeSales. It was mid-morning and all the good parking places were taken. And as I walked down the hill toward the hospital, I can remember just saying, "Okay, Lord, I don't know this girl, 12 years old, don't know anything about her. Show me how You want me to minister to her." And so I just began praying in tongues as I walked. And all I heard was, "Tell her I love her." And so that really fits in with what I want to talk about this morning, and that's why I'm sharing this with you. So we went into the hospital, went into ICU. I was shocked at how easy it was to get into ICU here in Macon, because in Johnson City, when I would go pray for people where we lived for the 40 years prior to 2013, you had to sign your life away, and at the end you even had to give them your driver's license while you went in. So I was thrilled to get in there. And I go in, and there's this beautiful young 12-year-old girl laying in bed with a tube inserted in her chest to her left lung with pneumonia. And she'd been there 2 weeks. And I just introduced myself, told her about Sissy calling, and we began a short conversation. And that conversation was me just basically telling that little girl, and I'll call her Anna, because today she would be 18 and she didn't give me permission to share all this, so we'll just call her Anna. But I began telling Anna how much the Father loved her. But you can only say that so much to a 12-year-old. And so I then went on and shared some things that I had heard Andrew Womack share when he would come to our church in Tennessee. I said, "You know, Anna, the Lord has your picture on His refrigerator right up there next to mine." And I said, "You know, I carry pictures of my grandkids in my billfold. He's got your picture and mine, because, you know, you want to give Him an idea that it's just not one, in His billfold." And I said, "He shows us off all the time because of His great love for her." And so I just encouraged her. We talked about her being the apple of His eye and what that meant, and that He always had His eye upon her. Just anything that the Lord could bring to my memory to just really cement the fact that she was loved, that she wasn't forgotten. And during that time, I could just see her whole complexion change. It was like she just took a sigh, took in a breath and released it, and she began to just sense that, hey, I'm not up here by myself. So then I just said, "We're here to pray, so how do you want me to pray?" I asked her and her mom, And that's when they told me a few of the details about the tube and the 2 weeks of pneumonia in the left lung. And they said, we're going to have somebody coming up sometime for too long to x-ray the right lung because they believe that she has pneumonia in that as well. Well, wouldn't you know it, about the time you get ready to pray, here comes the folks, the technicians, to do that ultrasound of her right lung. And the mother turned to him and said, he's just about to pray, will y'all? And they said, sure. And they stepped out and gave us freedom. So I asked her, could I put my hand on your back, on your left lung? And she said yes. And I don't remember what I prayed. I have no earthly idea. I'm sure I used the name of Jesus. I'm sure I spoke to pneumonia. But those words, since we had shared his love, really didn't matter to me. Now, some of you are saying, well, gosh, I wish I'd known what you prayed. Yeah, I understand, and I've been there too. And why? Because I wanted to go try that sometime. But we don't try. When you hear from the Holy Spirit, you just speak exactly what he's given you, and he'll always show you what to share. So we prayed for her. And as I prayed, I could perceive through the heat in my hand that she was receiving. And so when I finished, I just said to her, and I believe you received something from God right there, and I look forward to hearing a good report. And she said, I said, so I just want to ask you, can you breathe deeply? And she tried, and I said, did you sense anything while we were praying? And she said, your hand was like it was on fire. Now, that doesn't happen all the time, and I've prayed for just as many people where I didn't feel that, and they were healed as well. So it's not something that you really look for, but it was a testimony, I think, to her. So I leave, go home. That night I get a text from Trey. And let me, and this is 6 years ago, so I've recounted from my notes what he said. He says, I just got this text. Praise God. And then he said, he sent me a text from Sissy. The mother was named Sherry, and she said, it says, Sherry just texted me, and Anna said the prayer worked. They took out the tube today. So I was thrilled with that. We rejoiced. It's not about me. It's about just as we sang, we give you glory, Lord. And so we worshiped the Lord and gave him glory, and I think Trey and I probably talked about it Sunday morning at church. Well, during church Sunday morning, I get a text, and that is unusual. And it's from somebody sitting about six rows behind me. And it was Sissy. And she forwarded the text that her mother had sent, that the girl's Anna's mom had sent, and said, we're home. There's no more pneumonia in the left lung, and there was no more in the right lung. And so 48 hours, just from being obedient. Why? Because I know his love for people. And I want to say this, and I'm going to say it a couple other times. We're going to talk about receiving his love. And the reason I want to focus on it is that until you receive his love, it's hard, in fact, it's impossible for you to go show agape love to anybody else. And that's all we were really doing. So all the glory to God. And I believe really what opened her heart up to receive it was her hearing God loves me, and maybe in some ways differently than people heard it before. So I want to go through a number of scriptures with you today, and we're just going to reinforce this, that God loves me. And we may ask you to say that a few times. John 3:16. And this one you can all quote, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have what? Eternal life. Have that God kind of life, which includes, for us, healing. And so the question for you and I today, this first phrase says, for God so loved the world. He's not talking about this earth necessarily. He's talking about people. But the question for you and I is, do we read this verse and do we see it, for God so loved the world, and so he gave, or do we see it, for God so loved me, and he gave? Because it's that personal knowledge that really is what we need to feed on today, and what I want us to see, that you are the beloved of the Lord. And so the reason why is the way we see ourselves in the Lord, in His love, is a key determiner to how you're going to be able to receive from Him. In fact, I'll say it's essential for you to be able to do that. Now, we tend, and let me just say up front, I'm not saying that faith is not important. I teach on faith probably more than I teach on anything, covenant. But if we just focus on our faith, then it becomes, well, look what my faith did. Look what this prayer I prayed in faith did. And it's about me and my faith instead of the grace of God. Now, I know that His grace comes through faith, but if we're not careful, we're going to turn that operating in faith into pride, into works, instead of looking first at how that faith came to us, which was what? Because God so loved me. Galatians 5:6. For if we're in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith. And look at how this is amplified. Only faith, and I'll add the word which, is activated, energized, and expressed, and working, how? Through that love. Now again, you can say, well, I need to take God's love and then show it. Yes, we do. But again, I'm going to tell you, it is impossible to do it. Romans 12. We talk about Romans 12, 1 and 2, renewing our mind. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed. But you know, that's not the end of that chapter. What is it, around verse 8 or 9, it starts talking about don't love with hypocrisy. And then there's a number of other things that are listed there. And again, it just shows me when I read that chapter, I cannot operate in God's love showing it to other people. I cannot do those things it commands me to until I first have received fully of His love. Now, I'm just going to be honest with you and tell you, I've never had the pleasure of, as my wife has one night when we prayed for her, and I've shared that before, when it was just like liquid love began to pour over her. And she said, the room's getting brighter. What's going on? The lights are changing. And she said, I just feel a warmth like it's coming over my head and just going down. I've never experienced that. Am I jealous of her? Yeah, a little bit. But I know, because the Word says I'm loved, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I am. And I don't have to experience supernatural stuff, even though I desire to see it. But what I want us to see is that until we experience His love, our faith can't be activated, energized, expressed, or a working faith. So faith is energized through His love. Now, you begin to get an idea then of a sequence. Ephesians 6, verse 23 says, peace to the brethren and love with faith. It doesn't say faith with love. It says love, which is the gift, with faith. So the grace that we get, the love that we get, and the faith that we get is all because of that great love that He has from us. And it's not only from Him, but it's from God the Father and our Lord Jesus. We see this again in 1 Timothy, the first chapter, the fifth verse. Paul, writing to Timothy, says, the goal of my instruction is love from a pure heart and a good, and I would say a clear conscience, and a sincere faith. So again, we see love is that precipitant, and the faith that comes with it when we walk in it is energized. In the 14th verse of that same chapter, I love this verse, and the grace of our Lord was more than abundant. Say that with me. The grace of my Lord was more than abundant. And look what it was abundant with. Faith and love. And we've seen the order. And where is that found? Where only can we find that? In our position, being in Him, in Christ Jesus. Even the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5 starts with what? Love. And to me, of those nine fruit of the Spirit, love is like the curtain rod. And all those eight elements after that just hang on that curtain rod of love. They can't operate without this love being foundational. So great faith flows from that love. And what I want to do in the time we have, and it's not a long teaching today, but is just go through a number of verses, and let's just sit at His table, resting in His love, and let's let Him feed us encouragement. Let's let Him feed us words that will create faith as we talk about His love for you. And you're going to see in a couple of these, and His healing coming to you in that love. So I want to start with Psalm 139. And we're going to be looking at verse 17. But before we do, I want to read you some verses preceding that. And what I want you to see about these verses, which precede 17, are talking about you. I'm just going to skip through. I won't read it all. Talking about the Lord. For you did form my inward parts and weave me in my mother's womb. Then he says in 14, is when he says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. My soul knows it well. Verse 15 says, my frame was not hidden from thee when I was made in secret. And then in verse 16 it says, thine eyes have seen my unformed substance. So he saw us before we were. And in thy book they were all written, the days that were ordained for me. You know, you had a story, an account of what we would be doing written to you before you even existed. And it all flows from what? His love for you. The Lord didn't begin to love you when you were conceived. He has loved you from eternity past when He foresaw you and I. That warms my heart. It really almost is just overcoming. And then it says in verse 17, so who's this talking about? And the appropriate answer is me, okay? Who is this talking about? You and I. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God, and how vast is the sum of them. Good thoughts flowing from His love about you. I want to read this in the Passion Translation, verses 17 and 18, because I think it encapsulates it wonderfully. Every single moment you're thinking of me. I'm not pausing from effect. I just can't talk. Every single moment you're thinking of me. No matter what we're going through. How precious and wonderful to consider that you cherish me constantly in your every thought. O God, your desires toward me are more than the grains of the sand on every shore. When I awake each morning, you're still with me. That's His love for you and I from eternity past until eternity future. You know, that reading that makes me think about, I think it's the English Standard Version in Psalm 33 that talks about His steadfast love, constant, never ending, always there. I mess up, never ending, always there. I miss it again, never ending, constant, always there. And then I think about, and this is just some of the scriptures the Lord brought to my mind, Isaiah 43 verse 25. It says, I, even I, am the one who wipes out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Now, when I read that, we're in healing school, I have to say this. remember that when our sins were taken away, the impact of sin in my life was also removed, which is what? Healing, which is peace coming to me. So don't just think of my sins going. You got the total package, spirit, soul, and body, making you a whole individual in Him. You know, He makes it more personal. In the 21st verse, it says, "The people who I formed for myself will declare my praise." Why did He form man? To have someone that He could show His love to and fellowship with, thus receive it back. And we get to praise Him for all the goodness that He's given and done for us. And then one we always quote to people, Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans I have for you." Now, I'm pausing for effect now. Do you see that His love for you generated that book, that entry in the book concerning all that He had planned for you? He knows those plans for you and I. And then it says plans for welfare or for good, the word is peace there, and no calamity, to give you a future and a hope. I know the plans I have for you. And what did Moses see when the Lord placed him in the cleft of that rock and put His hand over him to protect him when he passed by? All of His goodness. Zephaniah 3:17. Now, I don't think we have this in the New Living Translation, and so we're not going to show it because I want you to listen to what New Living says. "For the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you in gladness." Mark, the Lord takes delight in you in gladness. He takes delight in Trey in gladness. Every one of us. It continues and says, "He will come," no, back up, "with His love, He will calm all your fears." With His love, He's going to calm every fear and replace it with peace. And then the part that we like to quote of this, "He will rejoice over you with joyful songs." So when the Lord is singing, and I know I shared this one a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about how He values our body, but when He sings over you and I, He does it with great joy. And what's it all precipitated by? His love for you and I. You can't talk about love without going to 1 John. So 1 John 3, the first two verses, and really just the second, first part of verse 2. "See how great a love," and you're going to see that phrase a couple of times, "how great a love the Father has bestowed on us." Now, pause there. Past tense, that part that I just read, is that correct? I mean, help me out, some of you English majors. It's past tense. So why do we need to go to the Lord and say, "Lord, I need to see more of your love"? Why do we have somebody that maybe rubs us the wrong way and say, "Lord, you need to give me more love so I can love them"? This says we've already gotten a great love bestowed upon us. And how great is that love that we might be called the children of God? And then this is a good time to shout if you want to, "And such we are." And such we are. "For this reason, the world doesn't know us, because it did not know Him." And so they may think we're crazy when we tell them some things. When we proclaim our healing, and they look at us and say, "I don't believe it. You don't look like it." They're not going to understand that, but we do. Verse 2, the very first part is all I want to read. "Beloved," there it is again, "you are the beloved of the Lord. Now we are children of God." sons, literally, but I'll say daughters if it makes you feel better, okay? We are the children of God. Now, in the fourth chapter of John, we'll look down at verse 9 or 8. Did I give you 8, Mary? Yes, I did. Good. For the one who does not love does not know God. Now, that's talking about an intimate knowing. And then it says, for God is love. He doesn't just have love. He is love. I personally believe that the atmosphere of heaven, just like oxygen is a key element for us in this atmosphere on earth, love is going to be that atmosphere that permeates heaven. He is love. And then verse 9 continues and says, by this. Now, you can interpret this two different ways. If you like to diagram sentences, you could say, by the fact that God is love, his love was manifested. Or the by this could mean what's about to come. Either one of those works, because both are true. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, already there, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. Verse 10. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, or to take away our sins, to clean us up, to cleanse us. Beloved, if God so loves us, we also ought to love one another. Now, if you didn't believe what I said earlier, that you can't love others until you know God's love, if you didn't believe it, you ought to now, because that's exactly what this verse is saying, isn't it? That when we receive the love of God, it ought to be so strong in us that we begin to love others with that same love. 1 John 4, verse 16. We have come to know. That word means experience. It's talking about intimate knowledge. We have come to know and have to believe the love which God has for us. Now, I want to stop there. Are there times when you might wake up in the middle of the night and pressures have come on you that you don't feel loved? We've all experienced that. This verse says we've come to know it, so we have experienced it. Some, I'm sure everyone has. But this next part is the key. And have believed the love. Have faith in that love. Not because I feel it, but because this verse says, I have come to know it and I can believe it. So we can't be governed by our feelings and want to feel that erotica type love that the world focuses on. We have to believe it. We have to walk with as much confidence that he loves me. And right now, when I'm going through stuff and I feel like I'm all alone. And when you do that, you won't be in that shape long. It goes on to say, God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God. So as we abide in Jesus, we're abiding in love. And then it says, and God abides in him. He and us together. Members of the Godhead dwelling in my physical tent here. Not in this flesh necessarily, but in my spirit, which also dwells in this flesh. 1 John 4:19. We love because he loved us first. Now, I know I've said that a number of times, but guess what? I'm going to say it one more time. We love because he loved us first. I can love you with the love of God because he loved me first. Now, when we see that verse, the scripture which talks about be at peace with all men as best we can, we don't really have a lot of excuses, do we? We love because He first loved us. Passion translation in this verse. Now let me back up. I'm going too fast. We can love Him back with that same love that He loves us with. Now I know that may seem like one of those tilt comments to a lot of people. We'll look at a verse and I'll show you where I tilted one day when I really saw this verse. But what I want us to see is that if you feel like you're going through a time where you're not loving Him enough, what do you do? Do you pray, Lord, help me love You more? Or do you go back to a verse like this and say, I can love because You love me first? Now, yes, we're in healing school, and healing flows from this love. If you want to think about that while we're going through these verses, think about Jesus on that whipping post. I'm healed because He loved me first. Every one of those 39 stripes, because He loved me first. Passion translation. Our love for others is our grateful response to the love God first demonstrated to us. Can I read that again? Our love for others is our grateful response to the love God demonstrated to us. Everything we do in this life is because He first loved us. Everything. Ephesians 2, verses 4 and 5. But God, being rich in mercy, and here's that phrase again, because of that great, that plenteous love with which He loved us. In verse 5. Even when, I'm going to make this personal, because that's my whole theme here today. Even when I was dead in my transgression, I have been made alive together with Christ because of that great love. And by grace, this free gift that has been poured out upon us, again, spirit, soul, and body, a new, totally recreated spirit, a soul that we can have our mind renewed so that my thinking and what the Word says lines up and I can walk in peace no matter what I'm walking through. My physical body receiving the first fruits, as we talked about around 2 to 3 weeks ago, in this body, in this flesh. Even when I was dead in my transgression, that love made me alive together with Him. By grace, that free gift, I have been saved. Now, to a lot of people, grace means unmerited favor. You get something you don't deserve. And that's true. But when I think of His grace being poured out upon me, I think about all the ability of God being lavished unto you and I. His power, His love, His righteousness, and the list just goes on and on. So Judy, why don't you come on up? And I've got four more verses, but I want her ready to pray, because when we conclude today, I just want to open the altar, as we did several weeks ago when Pastor Trey was led to do it, for you to come up, and we'll talk more about it in a moment. So these last four that I want to go through. John 15, verse 9. Jesus talking, red letters. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide, stay, dwell, never step out of my or in my love. Jesus is telling you and I that He loves us with exactly the same love that the Father loved Him with. The first time that I really heard this, it was one of those almost too good to be true moments. But to be honest with you, I could accept Jesus saying that I love you just like the Father loves me. But then when I saw John, let me read it to you from the Amplified before I move on. It says, I have loved you just as the Father has loved me. Abide in my love. And then it amplifies by saying, continue in his love with me. So it takes us right back to what? The Father's great love. And that's what Jesus is talking about in John 17:23. Now, this is where Jesus is talking about us being one with the Father. And then he says that the Father loves you just like he loves me. He wants us to know that. I remember the first time that I heard that said. And I hate to say it, but I was probably 30, 40 years after I was born again. But when I heard it, the guy who quoted it said, after this is over, go look in the mirror and quote this verse. And so I went into my bathroom on Chesterfield Drive in Johnson City, Tennessee, and I looked in that mirror and I said, you love me just like you love Jesus. I couldn't look at myself and say that. So I sat there, or stood there, and forced, you love me, and I'd look down. Until now, I can look at that mirror and I'm saying, Father, you love me just like you love Jesus. In fact, you go on and say in verse 26, you've placed that same love in me now so that I can love you back just like you love me. How can that be? I don't know, but I've come to know and believe the love that you have for me. The new living in that verse. Jesus says, I in them, and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. Now think about the words where that starts. I am in them and you're in me. May they experience such perfect unity. Well, to me that's two things. My union with him. I'm in such perfect unity in Jesus with the Father that I don't have to turn away when I think about his love. He's made me worthy to do that. I've shared this before, but it's worth sharing again. Brother Kenneth E. Hagin had a vision before the Lord, and he found himself looking at the Lord face to face, and immediately he went to his knees. And he said he could see through the floor, through the holes in the feet of Jesus. And he said, Lord, I'm not worthy to behold your face. And the Lord said, get up. And he said, no, Lord, I am not worthy to behold your face. And he said, the Lord said, I said, get up. I have made you worthy with my worthiness. That's understanding his love, who you have become in him. Now, think about that kind of unity where you see yourself so tight with Jesus and the Father. But don't let that stop there. Because I think that's a type of the unity we can have here together. Those of us here in church, those of you online, this is the kind of oneness the body is going to have, and maybe we're experiencing the first fruits of it now and some of what's going on. But this is what we're going to be able to do and carry out, and I'm going to say it because we're in healing school, go do the work that Jesus instructed us to do. I sometimes think our lack of action hinders what he's pouring out on us, that we just aren't bold enough to step out in it sometime. So think about being in such unity with one another because he loves you just like he loves Jesus. Oh my. And healing flows to us in that love. Now, when you think about that great price that was paid, I know 1 Peter talks about not with precious things like silver and gold. Precious, not, oh, how cute a baby, but precious as in the value, the heaviness of the gold or the silver. But we were bought with what? The blood of Jesus. And so the thing I want you to see about how much He loves you is that understand the Father set the price for you, for Jessica, for John, for Annette. He set the price and He overpaid with it. The most precious thing He has. Healing is ours through that shed blood, through those stripes on His back. So I want to close with this one. 3 John 2. It starts out, Beloved, you who be loved, you the beloved of the Lord. And don't see this as just John writing it. See it as the Holy Spirit inspiring it as Jesus says it. I pray that in every way, in all respects, that you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. That is the love of God toward you. Everything good provided to you and I today. So what I am led to do is I just want to open up the altar for those of you here in the church. And I'll speak to you on TV in just a moment. If you just want to come to the altar and just be thankful for what He's done, and if you want prayer for something that has you're fighting or standing, then raise your hand as you're worshiping and Pastor Trey or I will come and agree with you that His love has paid the price. It is a done deal. It belongs to you and I. So as Judy prays, you are free to come down and begin to just pray and spend time at the altar. And even if you're not fighting something, I would do it because that's your expression of gratitude. And I still think we talked about praising Him, we talked about glorifying. Being thankful for what He's done for us is the highest form of praise we can give Him, is my belief. So I want to speak just for a moment, though, to you on TV. So you're free to come down. Just ignore me. You don't have to be at a church to enter into that quiet place with the Lord. You are free to just kneel where you are watching this and begin to thank the Lord for that great love that He's poured out upon you, for what He's done for you. And I hope you've been able to take this personal. If you don't know Jesus, then you today can just ask Him, Lord, I'm a sinner. I believe in You and I want to receive You, Jesus, and He will come in and take up residence. Now, it doesn't stop there because you need to begin to spend time with Him so that you can experience, you can know this love that we've been talking about. So do that today, and while you're doing it, expect, have a strong expectation that healing will manifest in your body if that's what you're standing for. We love you guys. We thank you for joining us. And come be with us on a Thursday morning here at 10:30 on High Point Church on Hollis Road. We'd love to see you. Thank you.